venues and availability to have to go out and perform live, and opportunities to go out and see a band at a coffee shop or a bar or, as big as the amphitheater out on the river. There, it's just the spectrum is huge for the amount of opportunities you have to go see live entertainment and perform as an artist.
Hello and welcome to A New Angle. I'm your host, Justin Angle, Associate Professor of Marketing at the University of Montana College of Business. This podcast is my chance to speak with cool people doing awesome things in and around Missoula, Montana. We're interested in creativity and hustle, and the people we'll speak with here exude both of those in spades. Buckle up and let's go. Hello and welcome back to A New Angle. Thanks for tuning in today. Today we have a fun one for you. It's an interview with a great group of students. They are the core leadership of Switchback Records. Switchback Records is a student-run record label here at the University of Montana, and they have an incredible event coming up. They are launching their first album. We'll get into the details of that in the interview, but I wanted to highlight some exciting news about an event they have coming up, so I brought in a special guest star on this intro, and that is Professor Mike Morelli, the director of University of Montana Entertainment Management Program. Mike, thanks for coming on the intro.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, man.
So give us the details. There's a big party on the 13th. That's all I know, April 13th.
There is. It's at Monk's Bar. It's April 13th, 8 o'clock. Doors open up. And then there'll be four of the Switchback Records artists there playing 20-minute sets each. Ought to be really cool. And they are covering not only the song that they did for the Missoula to Memphis album, but they're also putting out their own music.
Awesome. So the name of the album is Missoula to Memphis. It's a collection of Elvis covers, right? By local artists and artists from around the country as well.
Correct.
Awesome. Remember, folks, that we are still running our growler and gift card giveaway sponsored by the Dram Shop. So what you need to do is before April 13th, you need to rate, review, and share the podcast, and we will enter you into a drawing to win one of those two fun prizes. Check out the event at Monk's April 13th. They're going to talk about that in the episode as well. Mike, thanks for coming on, and you and I will get out of the way and turn it over to this amazing group of students.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You're the devil in disguise.
All right, so we're here today with the Switchback Records crew. Guys, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so I'm going to totally botch your names. So we got Sam, we got Nathan, we got Mike Morelli, Christian, Danny,
Eric,
and Mike.
Awesome.
And so you guys are all students here at the University of Montana, right?
Yep.
Tell us your major, Sam. Start with you.
I am a business management major focusing in entertainment management. Specifically, I'm the head of sales here at Switchback Records. So.
Awesome. Nathan.
I'm an accounting and entertainment management major and have been acting as the managing director of Switchback for the past semester.
Right, that's a new one. I haven't heard many accounting and entertainment management majors. So
neither have I.
You're
probably the only one.
First of many. Christian.
My name's Christian. I'm a business management major and entertainment management. I am the director of A&R and supposed to be vice president, but that's kind of...
Titles and negotiation.
Yeah, exactly. Right on. But yeah.
Danny.
I'm a business management major with an emphasis in entertainment management, and I'm the secretary here, so I help out with like the marketing and everything else.
Awesome. Eric.
And I'm a business management major with a focus in entertainment management, and I work around the A&R team as long as the marketing and stuff, just kind of whatever they really need me to do, I help out with for the most part.
Sure. Mike.
I'm a finance major, and I just transferred here this semester, so I'm still pretty new.
Oh, where did you transfer from?
Alaska, UAA.
Right on.
And so I'm in the UMEM program. Still trying to find a little niche with this group here, but you know I'm always available for emotional support, if anything. So that's kind of my thing right now.
Sure. And Dr. Morelli, you are the sort of
I'm the advisor of this tribe.
Yeah. Okay. You're the director of the UMEM program, the University of Montana Entertainment Management Program.
I certainly am. And I'm the guy that's happy to get our industry advisor involved all the time. So I facilitate that.
Right on. So we'll get to him. But first, I want to talk about the, I'm going to use a really bad pun here. It probably goes over your young heads. But what is the genesis story of Switchback Records?
So I think when it started, the department was kind of trying to find a way for people to get kind of industry experience, especially like working with someone that is within the industry of music. So a group of students, I feel about maybe 2 years ago, there was this thing called the Falcon Music Program, which is run by this guy named Rodell Deflin. Mm-hmm. He's actually an A&R person for Red Bull Records. And basically
what does A&R mean?
A&R is artist and repertoire.
Okay.
So that essentially means people that work in A&R, they kind of do the listening of music and they decide about who they're going to pitch to the record label for them to possibly use.
Someone like scouts, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, got it. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no worries. And so essentially a group of the people within the UMEM department, they decided that that would be a really good way for a lot of students to be able to get hands-on experience around that kind of realm of the music industry. So they talked to Rodell about trying to make the school part of the Falcon program, and I guess they went and talked to him, and he thought it was a good idea, so that's where Switchback came from.
At this point, like, so this Falcon project is out there. How many schools are or were participating in it at that point? So pretty small. Like, you're in at the ground floor, right? Okay, great. And I guess before we get too far along, just for my benefit and the benefit of the listeners, what's a record label do? You hear that term all the time, or somewhat all the time, but what do you guys actually do? What's your job?
It's basically everything else surrounding an album besides writing and creating the music. So we'll ask and reach out to artists to record certain tracks for projects that we are wanting, or a band that we'd like and would like to sign and help them create an album. We reach out to them, have demos recorded, or help them reach out to recording studios to actually record their music, and upon there we help them get it mastered and to where it sounds very professional and as clean and good as it will, and then help distribute, actually compile the album, all the marketing of the project, getting gigs for our artists to play, really the full nine yards there.
So total production, soup to nuts.
Yes.
Right on. So speaking of real world experience, this is throwing you guys right into the breach of making music happen.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about Rodell and this Falcon group. So how did you guys, Mike, maybe you have some insight here, how did you guys sort of make your case coming from the University of Montana to be included in this budding program?
Yeah, that was actually kind of easy peasy, which is just wild. Some of our founders and core instructors. So the program is founded by nine people who went to the University of Montana, went out in the entertainment industry and had great careers. They founded this program to make it easier for Montana students to have a path to a career.
This is that so-called Montana Mafia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A couple guys, Brian Knaff and Eric Manigal, were at the Vegas Music Summit, and Rodell puts that on with a business partner down there. And they got to talking about, you know, the University of Montana and our involvement in the entertainment industry. And Rodell got really intrigued. And so they all came up together. And Rodell came here with a rock star or two, literally. Had Brad Smith from Blind Melon was up here. And then some rights guys, Tom DeSavia, Pete Galley. It was crazy. And they liked it. They liked the program and said, this sounds pretty good. So we found a way to fit this group into the Falcon Project. And students at one point in the class before the student group was formed were out scouting all over the place and picking up new musicians. It was really cool. So this is the evolution of that.
Right on. And so we are sitting here kind of on the cusp of a major event for you guys, releasing your first record, right? And this is the Elvis Missoula to Memphis record. So tell us about that project. What is this all about? Christian.
Yeah, so basically one side of it is local Missoula artists that were covering Elvis songs, like classic Elvis songs, the ones everybody's heard. One side's Missoula artists. The other side is just artists, random artists from around the country.
So a question that comes to mind is, how on earth do you get the rights to Elvis songs? I mean, you can't just, anybody just can't sing an Elvis song and record it and sell it, right?
So Red Bull Records kind of operates under the Sony the Sony umbrella, which is they have a lot of publishing rights specific to the Elvis estate. So through them, they could basically get a list of songs or like a catalog of songs that we could use for covers. And that's how they licensed it from Sony that we could use them.
Okay.
And this comes to us from our friends. Not only do we have Rodel Delphin and Falcon Music Project, but we also have Joe Berman at Media Horse. And Media Horse is a company that takes songs and puts them into movies, TV, radio, ads, and that's called syncing. And so they're a sync company. And they had access to this catalog. And so that's all flowing through them. And the other artists that we have on the album come through Media Horse.
Okay. Okay, so a collection of Missoula artists. What type of artists in Missoula are you looking for to participate in something like this? And how do you convince them to dedicate their work to a project like this?
It's pretty random, honestly. it's kind of all over the board from like pop style artists to like bluesy style artists, sure. Which is really cool because you have a really nice variation of sounds on it. And convincing them is not hard because basically this is pretty free publicity for them.
Okay.
Once you like get into the Falcon database, you're basically available for Sony to use in movies, videos, whatever.
So it's a bit of like a talent identification project.
Right. Okay. Yeah, totally. And so artists like to jump all over it, and there is always the opportunity to make money if you are selected by Sony. So it's really a no-brainer for most of these artists, especially ones that want to make a career out of it. It really just makes total sense and people love doing it.
So. And so that album's hitting the shelves or the virtual shelves or whatever you call it these days, April 13th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? And so what's the distribution plan? How are you going to make a big splash?
So,
how are we going to find out about it?
Well, right now we have the distribution just in a few stores around town, including the College Bookstore, Rockin' Rudy's, Ear Candy, Betty's Divine, and Liquid Planet. So we have all those, and they have our physical, actual vinyl records on sale.
You're making vinyl records?
Yeah, we have vinyl records.
Awesome.
And then we also have everything up online for someone to buy if they would like to. Publicity-wise, we're basically just a basic marketing plan. We have an acoustic show in a couple weeks on April 6th.
Okay.
At Liquid Planet to get the word out.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get people to go to the opening show.
Yeah, we're going to try and get some pre-sales going on there, too.
We were lucky enough to be able to have GrizzTix, the university ticketing system, send out email blasts, and we are running our pre-orders for the album through them, and the online sales for the vinyl will all be through GrizzTix, which is linked to our website, switchbackrecords.com as well.
Okay, there we go. Call to action.
and on top of that, to cap it all off, we'll be having a large release party at Monk's Bar on April 13th at 9 p.m. And there we will have four of our five Missoula artists doing live 20-minute sets with their song off the Elvis record, as well as four or five others.
Awesome. A lot of exciting stuff happening. So as we, I kind of want to switch gears because this first release sounds like it's somewhat of a unique thing. You're getting access to this Elvis catalog and recruiting a bunch of people to do covers. But as we went through at the beginning and some conversations we've had, you're trying to also, I think, Eric, you mentioned this, elevate Missoula musicians and get new music out into the world.
Mm-hmm. So one of the main mission statements of Switchback Records is trying to get local artists and bring them national recognition. So by enlisting like artists and trying to put them through the Falcon database, we're just trying to get them to the point where someone like from Sony could be able to just go through that database and look at artists, take the Ghost Peppers, for example. They were a former member of ours named Red Dino Terrace. He actually discovered them and put them on the database, and now they're one of the most number one viewed artists throughout the entire Falcon database. And this is essentially, it's kind of like gives them more of like the kind of like access or the ability to be able to, without having to like really go and like shake a bunch of hands or network with a bunch of people, be able to be available for these people to see their music or be able to at least like research them and know who they are.
Okay.
And to be fair, somebody like Ghost Peppers, who's a really good band, right? They're it's got tight music and they write their own stuff. They, unless they're going to travel or unless they're going to get out in a different way, they're not going to have the same kind of recognition of a curated site where people are, A&R people are talking about them and evaluating their music. So this is a really good jump for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good jump for everybody.
And it's really cool because Missoula has such a unique music scene that not a lot of people besides Missoulians would really ever know about. So kind of our job is just to promote and make it so they kind of have the same sort of access as somebody who's playing in like LA or something would have. You have recognition even in such a small area and so secluded, you're still going to get recognized as a band if you're talented. So
what is it? What is unique about this music scene? I mean, I'm not a music expert, but it feels like something special is happening here. It has been happening. There's a heritage of pretty amazing music here, but recently, you know, with these new theater investments and the work you guys are doing, it seems like this is a great time for music in Missoula. Can you speak about that a little bit?
Yeah. So Missoula on its own carries a pretty unique like bluegrass sound that a lot of bands bring to more popular styles. So music and the artists themselves kind of bring unique music in the sense that it does have that like Montana kind of small town, old timey, a little bit of country feel to it. And then on top of that, it's a community that supports this music scene like crazy. They're for how kind of small of a town Missoula is, the amount of venues and availability to have to go out and perform live and opportunities to go out and see a band at a coffee shop or a bar or, as big as the amphitheater out on the river. There, it's just the spectrum is huge for the amount of opportunities you have to go see live entertainment and perform as a artist.
And so if I'm a young artist trying to find my way in this industry, you know, why you guys? I mean, you've made the case a little bit with this exposure to the Sony A&R. Is that, am I getting the terminology right?
Yeah.
So you get some exposure upstream, but, you know, if I'm trying to make a move as an artist, why do I trust a bunch of college kids to help me get there?
So I feel like we're young enough. We all are very passionate about music, and no one's here to screw anyone over or anything like that. We're all just doing this because we really love music and we all really want to be part of the music industry. So, and we also all love the Missoula music scene, and we know there's a lot of really great talent out here that doesn't necessarily have the same ways to get exposed as a lot of people in more of a primary market like LA or Seattle. So to go through us, just a bunch of students that really just want to jump into the music industry and help artists the best that we can, I feel like we can give them the attention, I just like the time and like the passion that they kind of need to be able to elevate themselves.
Just a total foot in the door in the industry, honestly, is what it comes down to. We can give you exposure like really nobody else in Montana can for the most part, especially Missoula.
And I will say, it was interesting when we were setting up the student record label. There was a whole portion of the student record label where we were discussing the contract and what the contract would look like for the artist. And the student government got involved, the university council got involved, UM Productions got involved. It was a big deal what the contract and the terms would be. This is the most artist-friendly contract that anyone will ever see. You know, it's 80-20 in favor of the artist. It's a two-year term. And this group is trying to help them out and grow them and give them to somebody else. Go be free. Go get bigger. Go do more, right? So it's a very limited term, and it's also limited to two songs unless the artist wants to do more. But it's a two-song license. So that's a really great deal for the artist.
I mean, it would seem like that sort of model aligns with the station of life that all of you are in, right? You're not going to live the rest of your lives as students. I mean, Mike and I tried to do that.
Yeah.
We're still on campus.
Here we are.
They haven't kicked us out yet. But, I mean, you want to go on and work at these big labels or work in the industry, presumably. And it seems like a pathway for all of you. So can you talk about some of that in terms of the exposure this project has given you to the industry?
My take on it is that music industry is very much industry of relationships. So if we move on to like bigger and better jobs, like, and we work around an artist and we like recognize that artist, maybe they're still on the scene, maybe they're not. But if we worked with them at one point in time, it would just give us a little bit more of a leeway to try to possibly incorporate the connections we made while we were working around Switchback into our careers later, I feel like.
Okay. And what are some of you other guys doing as far as, you know, networking opportunities and thoughts for what happens after you graduate? And
through Switchback.
Haven't gotten there yet, Sam?
Not quite.
It's okay. I haven't gotten there either.
Well, through Switchback, that Las Vegas Music Summit that we talked about earlier, that the program was able to meet Rodell and kind of set up Switchback Records, we as a group go annually to that. And that it takes place in the second week of February. So a bunch of our team members, including myself, all just got back from that. And there we were able to see a bunch of panelists speak, such as the old manager for Linkin Park, as well as some people who have curated massive music festivals such as Life is Beautiful and Bonanza Campout. So through those panels, I mean, the talks that they gave themselves were interesting and covered all types of the music industry. But on top of that, we were able to speak with those panelists and give our information out and give them a quick little story about what Switchback's doing. And I mean, all of them all seemed very interested and thought it was a cool idea. And so through our kind of unique story, I think a lot of us got our numbers out to some good internship possibilities.
And or jobs. Don't forget that. I mean, these guys are talking about, hey, come work at wherever, which is unbelievable, man. That's what it's all about.
Well, not many other schools can say, yeah, we have a record label that you have had firsthand experience doing all of this stuff. I mean, we're not just reading a book and saying, well, this is what you would hypothetically do. Like, this is what we're actually doing. So it's real world experience that not many people can say they've had before they got out of college.
Yeah, so can we talk about that a little bit more? I mean, I don't want to get too into the weeds of the existential crisis facing higher education. But, you know, as faculty member, we think and talk a lot about how we need to do better as educators. And it would seem to me that opportunities like this for students to apply their learning in a live setting, doing real stuff, is a pathway to doing that. So this can be a great model for how we craft other experiences. Can you talk a little bit about, and I don't know if you've thought about this explicitly, but how you've been able to sort of, because I don't think you could do all this without some of the classroom stuff, right? You need some foundation, but how is that application of the foundation to something real really taught you the value of those skills? That was a long preamble.
Well, I personally haven't actually taken any of the entertainment management courses.
Sure.
I'm set to do that next year. But I think you do need to take some courses ahead of time to figure out managing a workload. that's probably the biggest skill that's helped me out in Switchback. You get a lot of stuff thrown at you all at the same time, and it comes in waves. And so especially in the past semester, I've gotten incredibly good at delegating my time and knowing what needs to get done when. I don't know if that answers your question at all.
No, but I think so. I mean, you're a bit of a black swan in the sense that, you know, I've been here, 6 years? I've never heard of a student who's an accounting major also in the entertainment management program. I mean, Mike, what percentage of UMEM students are
It's really low, although one of our founders, Mike McGinley, is kind of the prototypical. We wish every accounting major could be like him, since he went on tour with the Stones and revolutionized tour accounting. And all of those annoying retargeting ads that you see on Amazon, his company made that.
Oh, thanks
for
that.
Sold. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, but besides that, not many accounting and entertainment management students.
But you got into this project, Switchback Records, not having taken any of the entertainment management courses yet. So what was your point of entry? Like, how did this group suck you in?
My point of entry was Hannah, the old president,
right,
who I took over for, came into my business MIS class and gave a pitch on why you should join Switchback Records. And I love live concerts and music, and that's what I care about. And I can't sing or play an instrument at all, so this seemed like the only way in.
Pick up the instrument that you can. Well done.
Right?
Yeah. The rest of you, how did you kind of... Mike, I'll put you on the spot a little bit. Right. Just transferred in from Anchorage, Alaska?
Yep. Yeah.
And so how did you kind of get sucked into this group?
I was a drummer for about 8 years in Alaska.
Okay.
I grew up playing the drums, and then when I was out of high school, I moved down to Alabama and worked on film sets.
Hmm.
And then I started college after that. And so I like, you know, the side of producing, where, you know, the distribution side and the marketing and the promotional stuff, like... I like working with artists, I would say, like, from all those experiences the most. So, you know, I like, from the work that I've done, I like the part where you can see artists tap more into their creative potential.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, so you're a bit of a facilitator, right?
Yeah, okay. You could say that. I really like people, you know, and I think that everybody has a lot to offer when they are able to really express it. You know, my favorite writer once said that by just being honest, you're original all the time.
Right.
You know, instead of which, you know, in the music age we live in, you know, there's a lot of crap music out there. it's horrible. And, you know, so I really appreciate artists who are just in it to be in the music scene. Play.
Yeah, and so. It seems like the type of artist that would sign on with Switchback has to be sort of grounded in a way, and that's pretty reflective of this Missoula, Montana community as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, moving forward, I mean, you guys are making this big splash with this record release. I mean, obviously having access to Elvis's catalog is huge, and those songs will just, by virtue of many fans of Elvis out there, will draw some folks in, but you know, ultimately, what's next for Switchback, and what's success look like in the years to come? I mean, you guys are it may be hard for you to imagine as students, but you know, this venture could be here 10, 20 years and beyond, and you're here at the start. How can you do you think about that at all, the legacy you're sort of at the beginning of?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes. I mean, for what's going to happen in the short run right now, Graceland's going to be selling her album. Sirius XM.
That's huge. Yeah.
Yeah,
that is huge.
Like in the gift shop at Graceland?
Yeah. Boom. Like really.
Nice.
Sirius XM is going to be playing our songs. We found out about that during the Vegas Music Summit. And then we have a Motown album that's going to be coming out. We're starting to record demos for it.
Is that the same kind of model, like covering Motown songs?
It's a little bit different. So instead of it just being us and the Media Horse, it's going to be us and the rest of the Falcon schools, and we're going to have two songs per school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. And then beyond that, so the Motown album, but... You know, when you look back on this as proud alumni of the university, what do you want this thing to be?
I want it to be alive without the kids having to struggle.
Yes.
Right now it's so hard. Even just like getting the funding for an order of stickers is tricky right now. And I just hope, especially with the turnover, because we're all students and most people who come in here aren't going to be freshmen. They're going to be like seniors, juniors, maybe some sophomores who know that they want to be in the music industry. So they have about 2 years in this record label and then they move on.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to train people and train yourself at the same time is a little bit hard. And so I just hope we get to a point where we are busting out records at least once a year and then teaching people and not struggling for money as well.
I really like the way you framed that in terms of wanting it to be just a little bit easier for future generations. I mean, you guys deserve a ton of credit because it's super hard to create something, right? And that's what you've done. But it's even so much more difficult to create something in an environment like we're in here right now. I mean, the budget crisis, the enrollment problems, those are knowns. And yeah, there's not many extra dollars lying around if there's essentially zero. So yeah, to make something a little easier, that rings really true. And that's a great sort of way to think about it going forward.
Well, and to their credit, you know, this group met with one of our core instructors and made a pitch, and he donated some money
really? That
night based on the meeting that they had. So they're finding ways to build this bike as they ride it, which is unbelievable.
I like that analogy. You got to be creative to do it for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what am I missing? Anything?
Missoula, Memphis, April 13th. Features, at Monk's Bar, we have four of our five local Missoula artists performing. Andrea Harsell, Edgar Allan Kubrick, Chloe Gendro, and Rotgut Wines. All super talented, awesome people.
Awesome.
The fifth Missoula artist is Maya Nguyen, who's also incredible, but she has moved to Los Angeles to further pursue her musical career.
Good
so
for her.
We can't dock her too hard for doing that.
And she's kicking butt.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, loyal listeners of the podcast will recognize that we regularly use some of Andrea's music on the pod for our bumpers. And it'll be fun to get down to Monk's and see her perform live. So, guys, I just want to say thank you for coming on the podcast, but more so thank you for just having the courage to try something new and to create something in an environment where it's difficult to create. Congratulations on your success, and I look forward to following it in the future.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having us.
All right, that was a fun one. Always love talking to the students, and it's really excited to see this project come together. So check out that party, April 13th. Coming up next week, we have Karen Knutson. Karen is the executive director of the Clark Fork Coalition. The Clark Fork Coalition does a ton of important work to protect the Clark Fork watershed. Full disclosure, I am on the board of directors of the Clark Fork Coalition. And Karen is somebody who has done a great job sort of bringing mission and strategy into a nonprofit organization. She's a tremendous leader of the coalition, and we get into the value of mission and the value of strategy to that organization. It was a fun conversation, and I hope you look forward to it.
You're the devil in disguise.
All right, last few days of the Dram Shop Growler gift card giveaway promotion are running out this week, so get your ratings, reviews, and shares in before April 13th, and you'll be entered to win. We're going to announce the winner on next week's pod. Remember that A New Angle was brought to you by CED, Consolidated Electrical Distributors. They're our first sponsor, and we can't thank them enough. CED is one of the largest electrical wholesale supply companies in the country with nearly 600 locations nationwide. CED is a privately owned business-to-business company that distributes just about every piece of equipment you need to keep your lights on, your energy flowing, and your lifestyle comfortable. CED is also an important employer in our community, and they have a keen interest in University of Montana graduates. To explore career opportunities, check out www.cedcareers.com. If you have any suggestions for guests, cool people doing awesome things, please let us know. And if you enjoy this podcast, there are several ways you can support it. First, rate us on iTunes. Ratings help others find the show. Second, write a review. The more reviews we get, and hopefully positive ones, the more we can grow. And third, please just tell your friends about it. In addition, you can also support A New Angle financially. For information on sponsorship opportunities, please visit our website, www.business.umt.edu/anewangle. There you will also find a link to support the pod. Before we go, I'd like to thank a few folks for making this project happen. First, my colleagues at the College of Business for supporting this endeavor. in particular, Professor Josh Herbold, for writing and recording original music for the show. We also have music provided by Switchback Records, a student-run record label here at the college. I'd also like to thank Elizabeth Willey, recent UM graduate Michelle DeFluke, and the entire comms team here at the College of Business. And finally, thanks to my producer, Stefan Borsum. As we close, if you have any suggestions, comments, questions, insults, whatever, please email me at anewangle@umontana.edu. Help us spread the word and be sure to use the hashtag #anewangle when you do. Thanks a lot and see you next time.